All right, we're getting here on the top of Chedem and Aleph, but the two dots. Meitiv Rav Sharshia. Gwenet shenitarva v'lada b'vlad shivchata. Case here where a woman who is married to a Kohen has a baby, but along with her, her maidservant also has a baby. But they got mixed up, and now they're impossible to identify which one belongs to the Kohenet and which one belongs to the Shivcha. So Yigdilu, when they grow up, Hatarovet Mishachrim Zedzeh, they free each other at that point in time. Because one of them is the Adon, one of them would be the master or the inheritor of the slave, and the other one's the slave. So they free each other. Shneim ochlim bitruma. They both can eat truma. Because either you are a Adon, you are a Kohen, or you are a servant of a Kohen, both of them are entitled to eat truma. But that's as long as they haven't freed each other. Once they've freed each other, then one of them is still a Kohen, but the other one then is a regular Jew, and he carries Israel, and then he can't eat the truma. So until they free each other, both of them can eat the truma. When it comes to collecting truma, they must always come together to the Goren to get their chelik in truma. This is based on the Manda Amar, that in chokim truma the eved kohen, we don't give truma to an eved kohen on the goren unless his adon is with him. Shemar, because we're afraid that he might get yichus out of that. People might think that he is a kohen because he's entitled to truma, he's been given truma, so they must come together. Bichoran, the bichor that they have a bichor in their eder, yirua jizdabu, they wait for it to get a mum, v'yuchlu b'muman, and then they get to eat it with a mum. Because one of them, miman of shach, is a kohen. We don't know which one is the kohen. So therefore it presents us with a problem. You can't put it on the Mizbeach and bring it as a Bechor Tam on the Mizbeach, because then we don't know which of them can eat it. They don't have to give it to another Kohen, because it's Motzi Mechavero Ala Varaya, and each one of them he comes to can say, I'm the Kohen. So what do? We wait, Adshi Yistavu, we wait till it gets a mum in it, and then they can eat it with the mum. So Maya Skinan, what's the case over here? Again, the Gemara is searching, based on our Mishnah, for whether a Kohen really has ownership in a Bechor or not. The inyana of tmura, we're saying, is dependent on ownership. The Mishnah suggests that a Kohen may not or cannot make tmura, which suggests that he doesn't have ownership in the Bechor. So obviously we're talking about a Bechor Tam. And the question is that really true that a Kohen does not have ownership in a Bechor Tam? So we brought two examples yesterday, and then the Gemara rejected them by saying, no, it's really Bechor Bezman Hazeh. And that's why he has ownership, because it's not really going on in Mizbech. Here comes a third attempt of the Gemara to show that a Kohen really does have ownership in the Bechor. So when it says, Mayaskinan, Eloi Mizmanazeh, if we're talking about today, Maishna Didan, Maishna Didu. What is the difference between us and them, and this group here, this mixture between the two of them? Didan, Nami Mumim Beinan. Well, our Bechorot also have to wait to get a mum in it. So they have to wait to get a mum, we have to wait to get a mum. El Allah, Bizman Shebeta Mikdash Kayam. Isn't it when the Beit Mikdash is extant? Yamart Bishlama Itlahu the Kohen Zchiya Begavei. If you say the Kohen has real ownership over it, then Shapir, that's why they can keep it over here. Aliyamart, late. So if it doesn't have real ownership over here, late to Gizbar Vlishkalag, let the Gizbar come and take it away from him. I mean, why does he get a right over here to wait till it gets a mum in it, unless it's really his? If it's not his, then the Gizbar can demand, the treasurer of Mikdash can say, give over your Bechor. It's supposed to go on the Mizbech. Let's have it right now. It's not yours to keep. But if it is yours, you can delay, you can wait until it gets a mum in it. So from here, it shows you that a Kohen does have a Zechiyah, does have ownership in it.
And even though a Kohen is Chayav in Bechorah, he's not Patur. He's Patur from Petar Chamor, he's Patur from Pidjona Ben, but he's not Patur from the Din of Bechor. The reason why is because it goes on the Mizbeach. And therefore he doesn't have a Patur, it has Kedushat HaGuf to go on the Mizbeach. So why over here are we allowing him not to put it on the Mizbeach and keep it? As Rashi explains to us, that if he puts on the Mizbeach, he's going to end up losing out. Because normally a Kohen who puts a Bechor on the Mizbeach, he just puts a Murim on the Mizbeach and he gets the rest of the Bechor. So it's no different than if he had a Bechor Tam or a Bechor Balmum, except for the Murim that he has to put on the Mizbeach. Over here, that will not be true, because if he puts it on the Mizbeach, neither of them will be able to eat it anymore, because we're not sure which one of them is a Kohen. The one that's a Kohen could eat it, the Eved Kohen cannot eat it. So if that's the case, we allow him to keep it until it gets a Mum, even though that's not usually what we would do. We'd force him to put it on as a Tam. Over here, we grant him special permission to keep it until it's a mum, because he's going to lose if he puts it on the Mizbeach. And therefore he can keep it until it has a mum in it, and then eat it bit mumo.
So Mer says, look, the old am is bizman hazeh. It's really today. The kakashalach, maishna didon, maishna didu. Why does it make a difference whether there's a mixture of a Kohen and the Eved, or it's us? We all have to wait for a mum to come. Well, a very basic difference. Anan yavinan leila Kohen bit mumayu. We have to still give it to a Kohen. Even after it gets a mum in it, the Kohen is still entitled to it. There's Gezel HaKohen. We have to give it over to the Kohen. Inhu, this mixture, Kevin Dikabu Mixat Kohen, since one of them is a Kohen, Mafkale the Kohanim. They can push away the Kohanim. They have a right to withhold it from the Kohanim. Because you can say, Amotzi Mechavareo Alav Haraya. Lishna Achrina. Here's another approach. Bizmanazeh, my area Bechorot. If it's Bizmanazeh, why are we talking about Bechorot? Talent Sfekot, that they have a Sfek all of a sudden. We're talking about it before, that has a Sfek in it. I feel the Danamu. What do we do with ours anyway? Yiru. They go out to graze anyway. El Pshita, Shabizban Beit HaMikdash Kayam. Must be when the Mikdash is extant. V'Balmom, if it's a Balmom, Yiru Ad Shistavu. What do you mean Yiru Ad Shistavu? Hamisuavim V'Kayamim. It's already a Balmom. Then there's nothing to talk about. It already has a mom in it. You don't have to worry about waiting for it to get a mom. El Pshita Bitamim. Must be dealing with a Tam. Tam bizman hamikdash, and it sounds like it belongs to the Kohen. So vadai dolam bizman hazeh, talking about today. Oh my kashalach. What about the question? I feel it dinan nami yiru. What about ours? They also have to go out and graze. Yiru atshistavu lo matzino vidachet le the Kohen, because you can't push away a Kohen to eat kan safek kuna. We don't have any safek over here. So therefore, even though we have to wait for the moon, we have to give it over to the Kohen. Hanesveko medachlo to the Kohen. There, Safek can push away the Kohen. Kochad v'chad, Amarle, the Kohen, Dana Kohen, Vana Kohen. Each one of them can say to the Kohen that I am a Kohen. So it just had a little extra twist inside of it of moving from Balei Mumim to Tamim. But the same conclusion again, which is, we have to give it to the Kohen. They do not have to give it to the Kohen. We don't have any proof again because we're back to Bizman HaZeh. Bizman HaZeh, that doesn't help us because we know the Kohen owns it, Bizman HaZeh, because the end game Bizman HaZeh is that it has to get a Mum, the Kohen's gonna get it. The question we have is when it's going to go on the Mizbeah, does the Kohen have ownership on it? So, Meitabe. Rabbi Shimon Omer, here we're speaking about an Ira Nidachat. An Ira Nidachat says, Behemta, Prat, the Behemat Bechor, Umaaser Sheba. That it says Behemta gets destroyed, it's eaten up with the Ira Nidachat, that comes to exclude a Bechor and a Maser in it. Shlala, it says that it Shlau gets destroyed, Prat, the Kesef, Maser Sheni Sheba. That comes to exclude the Maser Sheni money that's in the city. So machloket, whether Maisu Sheni belongs to Gavola, to Shamayim, or whether Maisu Sheni belongs to the Baalim. Obviously over here we're speaking according to the Mandamar that says Maisu Sheni belongs to Gavola, belongs to Shamayim. So b'maya skinan, what are we talking about here? Ilema b'zman hazeh, we're talking about today, mi ika nir anidachat. There is no case of yiranidachat, but tznan, we have a mission, ain't no sim yiranidachat, el beitin shal shivim ve'achat. You need the full beitin, you need the beitin agadol in order to have a yiranidachat, and you don't have a beitin agadol. That must be the case. And therefore, there is an era case of Ira Nidachat. Im b'mai. I name of a balmum. If we're talking about a balmum, hainu behemta. What do you mean? If it is a mum in it already, that's really the property of the Kohen. It's the property of the Kohen, then it's included in behemta. It's included in what should be destroyed with the city, burnt up with the city. Elab sheet, betam. Must be we're talking about a tam. And who owns it over here? Via mar bishlamo itle zechia begavei shapir. If you say that he has ownership in this Bechor, then the lim would make sense. Eliyamart Leitle, if you say he has no ownership in it, lama limi behemta. Why do you have to use behemta to exclude the Bechor over here? Typically mishlala, below shlau shamayim. The reason we exclude Maisur Sheni from it is because Maisur Sheni doesn't belong to you. So that's shlala, the shlala of the city, it means the possessions of the city, and not possessions of shamayim, not possessions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you think he doesn't have ownership in it, meaning the Bechor really belongs to Hashem, and he's Mishulchan Kavua Kazochi, then it should be excluded from Shlala. The fact that the Torah has to have a separate limud for Bechor shows you that the Kohen really does have ownership over here. So I says, no, the Olam Bebalmum. So we're talking about a Balmum here. Uduk HaKashalach, Hainu Bemta. If it's Balmum already, it belongs to the Kohen's Bemta. Mi, Shenechal Batorat Bemta, Yatsu Bechor Maser, She'eno Bechalal Bemta. There's a big difference between them. Yes, it is his own animal, but it has different rules. The rule of a Bechor with a mum in it is different than a regular animal. It's eaten differently. It has different restrictions. The Tanan. Kopsulei amukdashim. Anything that has a mum in it from Hekdesh. Nimkarim bidlis. Nishkalim bilitra. They can be sold in the shuk. They can be weighed on the scale. Chutz. The exception that rules. Bechor and a maser. Shenatam lebalim. Because they are the beneficiaries of any sale. In the case of Hekdesh that has a mum in it, the beneficiary is Hekdesh. Because any monies that are realized from the sale will be used to purchase another korban. Over here, any sale is only the benefit of the Kohen or the Balim by Maaser, and therefore we don't allow you to be Mavazeh Kodashim. So because of that, you see there's a special rules that apply to this animal. Those special rules cause it to be excluded from behemta, and not the bechor and the maaser. Okay, meitevik. Umala mal bashem derabot kuchim kalim sheim mamon balim divi Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So from the parsha of denying owing money or denying having an object of someone else, bishvuah, the parsha over there says, umala mal bashem, person takes a shvuah sheker with the gabei his obligations here to someone else, and Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, derabot kuchim kalim sheim mamon balim, comes to include a case of kuchim kalim, which because they really belong to the balim, divi Rabbi Yosi Aglili. But as I omer, there are both shlamim. It only comes to include shlamim, but no other korban, because those belong to the balim. Yosef ben Dosai omer, lo, amar ben Azai lo bebechor bilvad. But he only said this about a bechor. So the case, as Rashi lays it out over here, there are both kochim kalim, is shimkid shlamim o bechor o maser etzel chaveiro. If a person gives over to watch shlamim a bechor maser, v'kafar v'nishba. This person denies ever receiving it. The shomer says, I never received it. And then afterwards admits that he was lying, that he took the shvuah incorrectly. He has to pay 1 1/5 back, plus he has to bring a korban because of shvuat ha-pikadon. The parsha says there, that he denies an obligation that he has towards his friend. So it has to be a korban, it has to be something that belongs to kichesh bamito, that is owned by his friend. If it was owned by Shamayim, then it wouldn't be kichesh bamito, but kichesh b'shamayim. So here we have three Tanaim arguing about what's classified as mimono of the balim. So we have Rabbi Yosef Glili, who says all kochim kalim are classified as being mamon balim. After that we had Ben Azai, who said that only shlamim were classified as being Mumono Shela Balim. And then we had the modification of Ben Azai according to Abba Yossi Ben Dusai, who said that it's only referencing Bechor. Bechor is the Mamon Balim. So Gemara wants to know, B'may Eskina. Ilim B'zman Azeh. If we're talking about today, Adom Yod Shlamim Tani. Talking about like Shlamim. So the Bechor, we're talking about here B'zman Azmet, at what you can be talking about a Shlamim. Shlamim is only relevant when there's a Mikdash. El B'shita B'zman Shabbat Mikdash Kayam. It must be when the Mikdash is extant. And what's the case here? If you say that it's a Balmom, Adumi the Shlamim Tanim, we have to be Dumi the Shlamim again. Shlamim, Balmom, is not Ra'ui the Mizbeach. That's not something that is called Shlamim anymore. Ela must be the Shlamim that's Ra'ui the Mizbeach, a Bechor that's Ra'ui the Mizbeach. Ela la b'tam, and it's saying a tam, Ushma mino, Ela the Kohen Zchiyah b'gavei. And therefore the Kohen has a Zchiyah in it, because that's why it's under the Parsha of Shvat Pikadon. It goes under the parsha of denying owing money in that situation. So that would show you that the coin does have real ownership over the bechor. Amar Bai, look, don't explain it that way, that it's the coin is chia in it. There's the olam betam. I agree with you, it has to be talking about a tam over here. But the bechor bechutz laaretz, we're talking about a bechor that's coming from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon he, and the author of this position is Rabbi Shimon, damar imbaut mimim ikarvu. If you bring them as tmimim from chutz laaretz, they will be put on the mizbeach. So the default status for a bechor tam in chutz laaretz is that it's not going to end up on the mizbeach. The default status is that we wait for it to get a mum, and then the kohen eats it bimumo. But there is this possibility, according to Rabbi Shimon, if the kohen does bring it up to the mikdash in Yerushalayim, then it will be okay to put on the mizbeach. It will be fine to put on the mizbeach. And therefore, it's not a question of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is the one who started us on the sugya. Said, Rav Nachman, Rav Ravua, lo shanu al bizman hazeh, ho vietle the kohen zchiyah bekaveh. That this din, that the tam, chai, really belongs to the kohen, it's only bizman hazeh when it doesn't go on the mizbeach. But if it goes on the mizbeach, the kohen doesn't have real rights in the bechor because of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that you don't have rights inside of a bechor to make it into tumurah. So here we've had examples where it seems like the kohen has ownership. Every time we answered that either had with a mum in it, or it was talking bizman hazeh. So now we ran into a problem where we can't say it's bizman hazeh, and we can't say that it has a mum in it, because we said dumi adishlamim. So Bai introduces a new answer that will uphold Rav Nachman's position, which is that we could be talking about tam bizman beit mikdash, but we're talking about a tam in chutz la'aretz, because stam love the akrova. Even though there's a possibility you could put on the mizbeach, nevertheless, the stam condition, the condition we assume is that it will not end up on the mizbeach. Afilu bizman beit mikdash, and therefore it's dumi yudishlamim, because it could end up on the mizbeach. That's the possibility of ending the mizbeach. It's also like Rav Nachman's Shita, which says that the default status of such a tam is that it will wait for it to get a mum, and it will be eaten by the Kohen. We do not demand that he bring it up to the Mikdash. He could keep it there and wait for a mum in it, and it will be mamon balim. So that's why it's the mamon of the Kohen, because it's in Chutz Laretz, where the stam is that it's almost like Mizman Hazeh, but we assume that you're going to wait until it gets a mum in it. Alright, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. So now we're going back to our Mishnah. We're going to ask the question from our Mishnah. Mali im inu meimir bechatat v'asham. Why does it make a difference to me whether there's tmura by chatat and asham or no tmura by chatat v'asham? Sharein zachin behem bechayen. There it's very different. Chatat and asham, the kohen only gets his portion after the korban is brought. Tumar bebechor shitzachin bechayav. By bechor, he already gets possession of it while it's still alive. So my eskina, what's the case in our Mishnah? If you're saying a case of Balmum, Adum Yodichatat Vyasham Kamar, it's comparing it to Echatat Vyasham. Balmum doesn't go on the Mizbeach. Echatat Vyasham go on the Mizbeach. And we're dealing with the Tam. Viktani Zachin Bo Bichayav. It says there that the Kohen, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, gets possession of it while he's still alive. Not when the Kohen's alive, but when the Bechor is still alive. Samaravina Hanami Bechor Bechutz Laretz. That's also talking about a case of Bechor Bechutz Laretz, Rabbi Shimoni. Tamar bim baut mim yikarvu. So the machloket in our Mishnah, according to this now, is talking about a case of Bechor in the Chutz Laretz.
The reason behind Rabbi Shimon's din is that the chatchila, you don't bring it up to the Mikdash, is because of the fact that they have the ability to stay there, they take care of the Kohanim that are there, they have a way to be dealt with while they're there, and don't have to be brought up to the Mikdash. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah says that the Bechor belongs to the Kohen, and we're talking about a Bechor Tam, we'll be speaking about this Bechor Tam of Chutz La'aretz, where there is this quasi-ownership of the Kohen in it, because the default status is that it will go to the Kohen and be Mimumo. Yet, nevertheless, there is this option to bring it up to the Mikdash, Opi Rabbi Shimon. He'll be holding him that sheet, and that's why he thinks that this Bechor Tam can be made into Tmura Ayidei HaKohen. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva is Lashitato. Rabbi Kiva over there argues on Rabbi Shimon and says that you cannot bring a Bechor Tam from Chutz Laretz onto the Mizbeah. And that's because there's a hekesh between Bechor to Maser Behema, Maser Behema to Maser Dagan. And just like Maser Dagan, which is a mitzvah Tluya Ba'aretz, can only be brought from inside of Eretz Yisrael, so too Bechor can only be brought from inside of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Kiva agrees, he says the Bechor belongs to the Kohen over there, but the Bechor belongs to the Kohen because it's never going to go down the Mizbeach. It's like a Bechor Balmum. It is almost no different than there. Bechor Bezman Hazeh, where it belongs to the Kohen. But if it's a real Bechor Tam that will go on the Mizbeach, the Kohen has no ownership in it. And since he has no ownership in it, he can't make any Tmurah when it comes to a Bechor Tam.
Rav Nachman again says that a Kohen has no rights of ownership in a Tam, Bezman Beit HaMikdash. Kohen does have rights of ownership in a tam bizman hazeh, and we've added to that list that a kohen also has rights inside of the bechor by bechor in chutz laretz, even bizman beit hamikdash. Bechor in chutz laretz does have some status of being like a shlamim, because if you brought it into Eretz Yisrael, you would be able to bring it on the mizbeach. Nevertheless, its default status is that it will not end up on the mizbeach. Therefore, it becomes mamon kohen just like bizman hazeh, since the default status is that we have to wait for it to get a mum in it. Therefore, it's mamon kohen. So this will not undermine that position of Rav Nachman. So Mara says, let us say that it is a machloket tanaim, whether a kohen is zocheh b'bechor tam michayim b'zman beit hamikdash. Bechor b'beit habalim osim et tmura, b'beit hakohen ein osim tmura. Bechor in the house of the balim makes tmura, you're able to have tmura associated with it. Beit hakohen ein osim tmura. In the house of the Kohen, you cannot make Tmura. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kevin Shabali de Kohen, once it reaches the end of Kohen, Oni Osim Tmura. You can't make Tmura. Hainu Tanakamo. Shimon ben Elazar and the Tanakamo are saying the same thing. When it gets to the house of the Kohen, you can't have Tmura. So my love, Achi Kamar. So now, this is what their machloket is. Rabbi Achi Pliye, that the Beit HaKohen, who Oseh Tmura, that in the Beit HaKohen, he can make Tmura, v'ein Baal Oseh Tmura. The Kohen can make Tmura, but the Balim cannot make Tmura. That's their machloket. If the Kohen has the right to make something into Tmura in his house, that means that he has a Zechiyah in it. That means that he has a right to do something with this Tmura. The Rashi actually brings down three interpretations about what the Gemara just said, in terms of the machlok between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Elazar. The first two explanations address the reversal or the opposite of each other. The first way that Rashi explains is that the Tanakama over here is saying that the Kohen has a right to make Murah in his house. The Balim don't have a right, but the Kohen does have a right. Along comes Rav Shimon ben Elazar and says, Kohen can't even make it to Tmura because he doesn't have rights in it in the house of the Kohen. So that's the first way Rashi interprets it, that the Tana Kama is more mekil, says that the Kohen is a zechiyah begaveh, and therefore he can make Tmura in his house. Whereas Rav Shimon ben Elazar is saying the Kohen has no zechiyah here, he can't do, and he can't make any Tmura over here. Rashi has a alternative girsa, Lishna Achrina, which says just the opposite. So the first way we read it is that when the Tana Kama says Bebeit HaKohen Eino Sim Tmura, means that the Balim can't make Tmura Bebeit HaKohen, but the Kohen himself can make Tmura. Therefore the Tana Kama is saying that the Kohen has a Zechiyah Begaveh. Rav Shimon Elazar comes to say nobody can do it in the Beit HaKohen because the Kohen does not have a Zechiyah Begaveh. That's the first way Rashi learns it. The second way Rashi learns it is that the Tana Kama actually says, when he says Eino Sim Tmura Bebeit HaKohen, that means not the Kohen, and not the Balim. Neither of them have a Zechiyah Begaveh. The Kohen has no Zechiyah Begaveh. Along comes Rabbi Shimon Elazar to add on to that. Even though he's saying the same thing as the Tana Kama, but we always say Tana Batshala Tzfuyeh. The Tana Batshala is going to add something, and what does he add? He's adding the fact that the Kohen can make it Tmura, and he thinks that the Kohen has Zechiyah Begaveh. So the first two interpretations of Rashi just argue about which of the two opinions here has the Kohen has Zechiyah Begaveh. In the first case, he said it's the Tana Kama who believes the Kohen has ownership over here enough to make it Tmura. And in the second case, he says that it's Rabbi Shimon Elazar who's saying that. Then Rashi brings a third interpretation about how to read the Gemara, and that is when it says, Bebeit HaBalim Osim Tmura, Bebeit HaKohen Ein Osim Tmura. That means that, Meimar Hutalo Meimar Ha Zavune Mizavinle. You're right, he can't make Tmura, but he can transact in it. So we midayik at Lashona Braito that, yes, the Balim and the Kohen don't have a right to do Tmura, but that's the only thing they don't have a right to do. But the Kohen will have a right to sell it, which means the Kohen really does have ownership in it. So that's the last way Rashi learns that it's a diuk out of the Braito, that we're only talking about Tmura, not talking about sales. And therefore, since you can't make Tmura, the indication from the Braito is that you can sell the animal. If you can't sell it, Kohen has a Zechiyah Begaveh, and Rabbi Shimon Elazar comes to say, not only can you not make Tmura, but you can't be Zavin it, you can't sell it. Because the Tana Batra has always come, Letfuyeh, he comes to add on something. Even though he used the same Lashon as the Tana Kama, it means that he's coming to say something more. So, but the Tana Kama, we medayik that there's no Tmura, but there is transactions. From the Tana Batra, we'll say that not only is there no Tmura, there's also no transactions. Either way, one of those three interpretations that Rashi brings will land us with the situation in which a Kohen has the right to sell the animal or has some sort of Zechiyah Begaveh, according to either the Tana Kama or Shimon ben Elazar, and the other Tana will argue on that. So it sounds like it's a Machloket Tanaim, whether a Tam is my Beit HaMikdash, Kohen has ownership in it or not. It says, lo, don't explain it that way. Ha Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, ha Rabbi Akiva. Machlok between the Tana Kama and Shimon Elazar is not about whether the Kohen has Zechiyah and a Tam, Bizman Beit HaMikdash. Rather, it's the same Machlok we had between Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri and Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah. And we just established that their Machlok revolves around a Bechor in Chutz La'aretz. So too over here, we'll say that they're arguing about a Bechor in Chutz La'aretz, and one of them is aligning themselves with Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah, and one of them is aligning themselves with Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri of our Mishnah, because Rabbi Akiva says the Kohen has no right to make Tmura out of such a Bechor, whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says the Kohen does have a right to make Tmura out of such a Bechor.
The Gemara is now going back to the Mishnah that we quoted originally, which is Bechor mochrimoto tam chai. You can sell a Bechor when it's a tam, when it's alive. Ubal mum chai v'shachut. Umekadishim bo et aisha. So that Mishnah we quoted originally that Rav Nachman made his statement on, and that's what we've been dealing with until now. Now Rav Chista has something to say about that Mishnah. He has another qualification about that Mishnah.
I'm Rav Chista. Lo shonu el kohen le kohen. We only have a situation in where it's sold from a kohen to a kohen. I'm a kohen l'Israel asur. So Rav Chista came and made a statement over here that when the Braita said that he's allowed to sell it when it's a tamim, he's only allowed to sell it to another kohen. He cannot sell it to an Israel. So one kohen can sell it to another kohen. Aval kohen l'Israel asur. Kohen cannot sell it to Israel. My time, adima az Israel v'shadei be'muma, because they're afraid Israel will buy it, put a mum into it, mumati le'chacham, and then he'll bring it before the chacham. V'omer lo, and he'll say to the chacham, b'chor zeh natan li kohen be'mumo. That I got this from a Kohen when it had a mum in it. Umishari hocham hochi. Wait a minute, why are we worrying about this? The Chacham will never be matir of such a thing. Veha, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Ein Ro'in Bechor L'Yisrael Elam King Kohen Imo. that a chacham is not allowed to see a bechor for Yisrael unless the kohen who he bought it from accompanies him. So we'll never run into this problem. We'll have to identify, we'll have to bring the kohen. Because what we're afraid of over here is, once he knows that there's a mum kavua in it, realizes now that it's no longer a chiyuv karet, there's no longer a problem with shchut echutz, that's just gezel kohen, over there he will be willing to lie or be willing to do something to get the bechor to be able to use it. So therefore we only allow the bechor to be brought if Yisrael owns it along with the kohen to identify or to tell us whether he sold it to him with a mum or whether he really bought it from the kohen. So Rav Chisda came and made a statement over here. When the writer said that he's allowed to sell it when it's a tamim, he's only allowed to sell it to another kohen. He cannot sell it to an Israel. So it says why? Because we're afraid that Israel will put a mum in it and say, I got it from the kohen. But why do we have to worry about that? We don't have to worry about that situation because we know that the chacham will never be ro'eh, the bechor and the mum, Elim Kane, the coin is with him, so we don't have to worry about that scenario.
Tosafot points out that even though in general we're not choshed Yisrael for putting a mum in a bechor, that's only when he reached him or he had it as a bechor tam in his eder. Because over there he has no way to make up a story that will get him out of the problem. But once he purchases it from a kohen and he has a way to be toled that the mum was there beforehand, over there he might start to play games and put a mum in it. Because once he puts a mum into it, it's a mum kavua, he knows now that it won't go on the mizbeach, it's not shchut echut. The only issue is gezel kohen. And over there he'll be makil with himself. The gezel kohen he's willing to deal with. Shchut echut he's not willing to deal with. Therefore we are choshed the Yisrael for doing such a thing. But since we have the principle of Rav Yehuda Marav about the chacham, therefore we're not going to have this issue. So we have to come up with another reason why you can't have a kohen sell this tam chai to Yisrael.
So then, Amar Rav Huna bray the Rav Yeshua, I know time with Yisrael asur. So then why is it really asur to sell it for a kohen to Yisrael? Because it looks like it's a kohen that's helping out with Beit HaGranot. Classic case of kohen HaMaseyeh Beit HaGranot is a case where the kohen goes out and helps the owner of a field work and get the produce ready to its final stage. And why does he do that? He does that in return for receiving the matnot kuna from there, for getting the truma that is going to be given from those crops. So that's called maseya bebeit hakronot, which is illegal because it looks like he's receiving his matnot kuna as payment for his services, payment for his work with the baal habayit. Because the only reason he's working there is only to get the matnot kuna in the end. So the Gemara says over here that the reason you can't sell it to Israel is because it looks like Mesayeh Beveit HaGranot. And Rashi explains why that is over here. And again, I'm going to say to you, it's different than that classic case of Beit HaGranot. The classic case of Beit HaGranot is that case where the Kohen is directly involved in doing some work that results in him getting the Matnot to Kihuna. Over here, the Mesayeh Beveit HaGranot is the fact that if he sells it to Israel, he's going to sell it below market. Because he knows, Israel knows that he can't eat this Bechor right away. He has to wait for it to get a mum in it. So therefore, when the kohen goes out to sell it, anybody who buys it is going to buy it at a significant discount. So what are we going to think here is, that why is he selling it to him at a serious discount? In order that the Israel in the future will give the bechorot to the kohen. So we'll say he's a kohen HaMaseyeh Beveit HaGranot, because he is doing something, he's making an economic decision to discount the bechor that he's selling, in order to encourage the Israel to give him bechorot in the future. So that's why we don't allow a kohen to sell it directly to an Israel. The Marzuktra equal the Bei Ravashi. Marzuktra went to the house of Ravashi. Amrule, Ditom Mar Mide. I have something really special for you to taste. Aitu Likame Bisra. Try to perform a nice piece of meat. Amrule, Lichomar Demivre. Eat this meat. It's very healthy. Shom the Bukhru. This is from a Bukhur. He says, Menalachu. Huh? Where'd you get this Bukhur from? Ravashi was not a kohen. He's asking, where'd you get this Bukhur from? Amrule, the Zavinlan Ploni kohen. A kohen sold it to me, so therefore I have it. Don't you worry about the member of Rav Yehuna Brei de Yeshua that a kohen may not sell to Israel a bechor mipnei shenira a kohen amaseya beveit agranot. So why don't you worry about that problem? We don't hold of that. Because that's not a case of kohen amaseya beveit agranot. I paid for it. I bought it from him. Kohen amaseya beveit agranot is where the kohen does something for free. And then in return for that, he gets the matnot kuna. Over here, it's not a case where I'm getting something for free from the kohen, therefore I'm going to give him more matnot kuna in the future. I purchased it from him. So since I purchased it from him, there's no chashash over here that I am going to give him in the future more matnot kuna because I didn't benefit anyway. I had to pay for what I bought. I'm a low below severe luchu. Haditznan, you don't worry about this. Other Mishnah, Kam Yisrael chayav ditabel b'bechor. How long does Yisrael have to keep the bechor before he gives it to the kohen? B'dakash 30 yom. By smaller animals, 30 days. B'gasach 50 yom. Larger animals, 50 days. B'mamar lo t'neo li b'tof zmano. Kohen comes and says to him, give it to me before that period is up. Arizel lo t'neno lo. Yisro should not give it to him. Why don't you give it to him? Because Kohen is saving the Israel some additional labor or food or cost of keeping the animal. He's supposed to keep the animal till 30 days, 50 days, and that costs him money to support the animal during that period. So the Kohen comes along and says, listen, if you give it to me now, I'll take it right away. He's going to save the Israel money. So you're not allowed to do that because it looks like the reason that he's giving the matnot kuna to this Kohen is because he's saving him money. So that looks like a Kohen of a Seva Beit HaGranot. So why don't we say the same thing over here? The reason that you have this Bechor here is because Kohen sells it to you. Kohen is therefore giving you something in order that in the end he will get something back in return. Which is that he thinks you'll give him the Bechorim in the future because he sold it to you now. He sells it to you early on at a cheaper price. So there's a big difference in the cases. Over there, it's clear that the reason that he's taking it early to save the Israel money is because he wants to get the matnot kuna. Over here, it's a sale. The whole thing is a sale process. You can't say over here that the sale process is identifying the fact that this coin is a granot. There's a transaction. A transaction has nothing to do with the future matnot kuna that have come out of this. Another way to look at this is, over there, there was no money exchanged. He says, I'll take the bechor early, and in return, he gets just the bechor. There's no money that changed hands. Over here, we had money that changed hands. I paid for the bechor that I'm getting now. So what are you worried about? Mozil kohen gabei. What are you worried about? The fact that the coin is discounting the price. So even though I'm paying for it, he's discounting the price in order that in the future, I will give him more bechorot. Because the coin is thinking in his mind, when I have more bechorot, I'll give it to him because he'll sell them back to me at a nice discounted price. That you don't have to worry about. Lo de mesek adate. You would never think to do such a thing. De botzina tab mikra. A small gourd is better than a big gourd. You go to the field and you see a small gourd there. You have a choice. You can pick the small gourd off of the vine and you can keep it. Or you could leave it there until it grows into a bigger one. But then you're taking risk that it might get ruined. It might not be there in the end. So people all tend to take the smaller gourd off the vine right away because that's a certainty rather than take the risk of waiting for something bigger later on. It's the same thing over here. If he's going to discount the price to me to beyond what he should, that means he's taking a loss up front in order that maybe in the back end I'll give him more bechorot. So that he won't do. A kohen will take as much money as he can today, because that's a bird in hand, rather than wait to figure out later on if I can get more bechorot out of this individual and make money in the back end by discounting more now. So the kohen will not discount to me more than he should in order to get my bechorot in the future, because he's not certain he'll get those bechorot, or whether there will be bechorot in the future. So he'd rather get his full price today than wait around for bechorot in the back end, because that's an uncertainty. So he'll take the certain today, which is the full price. So we don't worry about the coin discounting the price to a point where it'll encourage me to give matnot kuna to him in the future, because that's too risky. He doesn't know if he'll get them, and therefore he'll take the maximum price he can today in order to realize or monetize whatever he has today, and then he'll worry about the future matnot when they come about. So based on that, Rav Ashi says, I have nothing to worry about here. I don't have kohen amaseh every granot because this is a transaction. I don't have kohen amaseh every granot because I paid money for it. And I don't have a kohen amaseh every granot because even when it's a transaction, the price, not discounting the price beyond what it should be discounted. It is discounted because I have to wait for it to get him home, but it's not discounted beyond that in order to encourage me to give matnot to him in the future because it's not worthwhile. Nobody will take that risk. They'll rather get the money in hand today, a bird in hand today, than wait around to find out if I'll give him the matnot in the future. Okay, we'll stop over here.